The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We've put G.I. Joe on the back burner, and now we're doing seasonal content through the end of the year.
Back burner because we've got dishes on every burner. We've got something in the oven, something over there in the steamer.
What about the microwave? Is there anything in the microwave? What about the broiler? Are we utilizing the broiler?
That's the oven. You can't. What do you? You gonna put things in the broiler? I guess you could, but
yeah, you could do that.
Sketchy.
This point is half the podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
And this is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving episode. Shockingly, more of them exist than you think would.
Are there any Thanksgiving songs?
Was that the theme of the Transformers?
That's what I heard.
Thanksgiving.
Turkeys in disguise.
Yes, that is what I did. Because I couldn't think of a Thanksgiving song fast enough, so I just went with what I knew.
Well, here's the thing. We've started looking at all of the Thanksgiving cartoons out there. There are a lot of them, and there's a reason why you can't think of a single one, because they're all bad.
We even
looked up a list of, was it the best cartoons or the worst cartoons?
I think it was just the overlooked ones you didn't know about. You sent us a list of best of the 70s, 80s, and I think 90s as well. And the 70s is where we got today's offering from. BC, everybody.
This did not make me like the 70s anymore.
I would actually argue this is the worst, laziest aspects of the 70s come to fruition in the form of a Thanksgiving cartoon special based on a Christian Sunday morning comic strip.
I will correct you. It was a daily strip. Like your father, had many of the paperback collections of them.
Sure.
Pocket paperback, not trade paperback, like you called them.
It's all trade to me, whatever.
You know, like growing up, you know, like just any comic strip is going to be, you know, something. Correct. You know, you always go for that comic page, which now is, are there even comic pages anymore in the newspapers?
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you not been seeing what I've been posting on Facebook?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like a full page, and it used to be two full pages.
Oh yeah,
like two columns of comic strips, and I remember watching them just shrink and shrink and shrink.
No, it's the Sunday LA Times has three full pages of comics. The third page also has the crossword on it.
No, back the fuck up, because I'm talking about the daily newspaper used to have two full newspaper pages of them, and the comics on Sunday used to be like 8 or 10 pages. And the fact that you were like two of them have comics just fills my heart with sadness.
I mean, they're still in there. There's still lots of comic content.
But we have
the internet now. Why are newspapers even still a thing?
Newspaper, Ray.
Yeah. Why? Why bother?
That is a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless you have a bird in a cage, there is zero reason to own a newspaper.
Well,
Gina doesn't use the toilet. She just poops on the paper.
No, first of all, I have a fireplace, so I have been saving them as fireplace kindling.
I only get newspapers to fucking burn them.
Second of all, I only get the Sunday one because I want to be able to do the crossword.
I get that.
And I enjoy sort of sitting at my kitchen island and eating breakfast and flipping through it, and I don't want to look at another screen all day.
Wow. What's up, Barefoot Contessa? Gina Garten over here. Do you have a Garten?
I'm talking about when I make fancy things like the Lunchables I bought at the 7-Eleven down the street, and I eat that for breakfast, and I read my newspaper just like Ina Garten.
We looked up the ingredients of Gina's quote unquote Lunchables. It was $5,000 a plate. So don't
They're just normal crackers with fucking lobster on top of it. Yummy.
We actually grind up an entire Kobe beef cow just to get the drippings to make the butter. Like, what are we talking about?
What? Okay, first of all, what Lunchables do you have that come with butter?
Look, we know that you own Boonton Township. Thank you. We saw the pictures that you posted of them sending you offerings. Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen this article, it's fantastic. Gina, can you tell us about this article a little bit? This famed Gina article that appeared in your hometown newspaper that the world has shared at this point?
It was the New Jersey Daily Record, a statewide newspaper, and that it was also picked up by a couple of other publications. They did a little story on me in the most recent pilot that I wrote because I said it in my hometown, and it's a very small town, so they were very delighted to hear that.
I can't even get a write-up in the Livonia Observer, so this is really upsetting.
I was born in San Francisco, so I have a little higher bar than the rest of y'all.
So, are you going to San Francisco?
So let's talk about the comic strip BC, because I mean I've got some of the information up here for it. It started in 1958 and is still running today. Famously, Johnny Hart, the creator, died at his drawing board in 2007.
That's a cool way to go.
Yeah, it just got taken over by other people. I talked before about the religious aspect. That's sort of what it's really known for, despite being a caveman setting. Johnny Hart. He refound religion in 1984 and started putting Christian stuff in the comics up until he died, bringing a lot of God and Jesus stuff into this BC caveman comic. Yes.
I definitely started reading it before then, and I remember starting to see that popping up, and I was like,
I don't like that. So they sold you one thing and then slipped religion in there.
Well, his opinions
on things changed, and so
I don't like that. You're not allowed to lure me in as a fan and then dupe me.
I mean, here's the thing: in your magical world where there's just endless comic strips, you can just look at another one. You don't have to go to BC at all.
Yeah,
you
just lump it in
with the Mary Worths and Perry Mason strips.
Bizarro? I'm telling you, Bizarro is. I only recently discovered it, and now I have two in the span of about 3 weeks. I have two cut out and hung on my fridge, and I do not like clutter, you guys. I do not like hanging things on my fridge. I feel like my fridge should be clear of things. But they were too good not to hang.
You know, Gina, if you need some child's artwork to hang on your fridge, I will burn it.
I will burn it in a big pile. I burn kids' artwork.
You know, Chan, this is a new thing we got to do. Chan, when this pandemic's over, every time we go over to Gina's house, we have to, like her one friend who just hid headshots or whatever, we're going to hide children's artwork all around Gina's place.
I've got a fireplace now, so I know exactly what to do with your kids' artwork.
The thing is, our kids will be like in college and you'll still be finding children's artwork around the house.
I have a stack of his stuff that I was just about to throw away. I will be saving it now. So just know the next time I show up, Gina, it won't be just donuts that I'm bringing.
Wait, do you really throw it away? That's so sad.
I've been taking pictures of it and just chucking them because, like, what the fuck am I going to do with, like, a construction paper zebra?
I don't know. My mom put it through a blender. My mom saved it all, and I just gotta.
Well, because it's gonna go into, like, a royalty archive that, like, will be passed down for generation upon generation.
That's true. Yeah.
I guess it's gonna go different into the when you
McDuck money bank.
I guess it's different when you have a house and an attic and a basement. That's what's in those attics and basements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this Thanksgiving special, so BC, as I was saying before, it's a comic strip about a caveman, and you essentially have a handful of cavemen. I believe BC is the main comic. I believe a guy, and this is off the top of my head, but Peter is like some like know-it-all. There's an inventor guy whose name I'm forgetting. I want to say Miles, but I'm probably totally wrong.
Wait, names? Yeah. People are named in this?
Yeah, I mean, it's not worth anything because the worst name's Gina, and here we go. So you got, you also got the guy covered in hair who's sort of the dummy named Grog, who was my favorite as a kid.
Okay, you're bringing outside knowledge to this.
Yes, I was a big fan when I was a kid. Okay. Yes. Now, here's the deal, Gina. What do you think the names of the two female characters on the show are? Hold off, because I know you must know this.
I'm going to say a man who is a big God fan in the 70s, Skankarella and Mary.
You're almost there. The young, attractive one's name is Cute Chick, and the battle axe Broomhilda one's name is Fat Broad. Those are their two names.
Okay.
Recently, they've been given real names, but for decades, those were their names.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
I hate this a little bit more than I did, which is saying a lot.
So the thing here begins. This is a Thanksgiving special that almost has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. It's real, real random. The fact they even, you could have just shown me this and not told me it was Thanksgiving, and I never would have made a correlation.
I mean, here's the thing. There is a turkey throughout. But
there's a turkey.
But it's not. This I hated this so much because it's clearly just sort of a collection of comic strips like that should not have been animated, and it's not done like Peanut style where there's a good narrative and a through line and a beginning, middle, and end. It's just like 30-second chunks that don't make any sense that with a little bit of thought could have been put together. Like there were things that happened where I was like, oh, I see where this is going. It's going to be this. Oh, nope, that didn't happen.
But I feel like that was how they used to do things. And I mean, there's still stuff like that today that is like that, just like quick little hits. Robot Chicken does exactly that.
Yes. But the problem here is that individually, these were not good enough to be those quick little bites. Like it's basically if you said, hey, come over, I'm going to make you a bunch of amuse-bouches. It's going to be an appetizer only night. And then I served you shit. And I'm standing
was it
there.
Small shit?
What's that?
Was it small shit?
Yeah, it's small, bite-sized shit.
You told me what you were serving, and you fulfilled that promise.
No, the reason to do amuse-bouches is to make them better than an actual meal. Like, I want either a good, solid, hearty meal or a bunch of delicious tiny meals that I'm like, oh, each one is better than the last. This was just tiny shit piles.
Look, all I need when I am told that I'm getting an amuse-bouche is a little cow, Noel Fielding, serving me an amuse-bouche.
Okay, I'm going to keep that in mind next time I have a dinner party.
An amuse, because it's a moo, and then mighty bouche is the... So it's an amuse bouche, you see.
Guys, I'm ready to end the show right now. I'm ready to just walk away from
this. Has their own British comedy.
I think I'm broken. This week combined with that joke has got me. Y'all got me.
Ray's ready to end his life.
I'm ready to put on my finest suit right now. I actually came to this wearing my finest suit just in case. So
we would like to apologize for the quality of this show. First off, we intended to record this long ago, and then, you know, just like things got in the way, and then the election got in the way, and we're like, you know what, we'll just do it later. And so, like, none of us have watched this for, I don't know, a week or two or something like that.
A week and a half at least, yeah.
So it was bad to begin with. It got worse because we don't remember any of it because we tried to put it out of our heads immediately.
No, here's the deal. So the thing opens up, and this, okay, let me just real quick. This reminds me of like everything that I find lazy and trite about the spirit of the 1970s. Like the pacing of this show is so unbelievably slow. And so like the vote counters in Nevada think this shit is too quick. Like, that's how
timely.
This is not going to go for well in
to this podcast to gather information about the human race. We're talking about the 2020 election.
Thank you.
Joe Biden and the other guy.
Some guy. I don't know.
This is going to age like a Doonesbury comic strip.
No, so the thing is, though, but the pacing is real slow. Very, very little happens. I took half the notes that I normally would for keeping track of the action than I would on any given cartoon show that we watch. And just the jokes themselves don't really make a lot of sense. They're just sort of people cheeking to the camera while odd things happen that don't really fit together with what else is. I don't know. And it's a little bit like... back in like the year 2003, if someone was to hand you a 1970s National Lampoon like article and been like, this shit is hilarious, and you'd be looking at it like, none of the references make sense. We've come 30 years in comedy since then. I get what they're doing, but like, yeah. No, this shit doesn't work anymore. And
but
that's
here's the
sort
thing.
Of how I felt watching this.
Here's the thing, because I was looking at it with an eye of, okay, it's 1973. There will probably be some hacky things that are considered hacky now because they've done them. And I can identify at least one where I thought, okay, this is for 1973. This is kind of a good bit. I don't think it's a good bit because I'm looking at it with, you know, whatever year we're in right now. I feel like it's been 8 years since this past Tuesday, so I don't know. But there was one bit, and when we get to it, I'll give it the props that it's due. But yeah. Everything else was not good for even the 70s. Like, I mean, if you're comparing this, even if you're comparing this to a Laugh-In episode or something, which is, you know, a series of loosely connected bits, this doesn't make any sense. And it takes three. I timed it. It's 3 minutes in. There were no words.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be the whole thing, but it was weird because then they start speaking. So I thought, okay, either don't have them speak for the whole thing or have them speak before 3 minutes in.
Oh, no, Ms. Ippolito, you are mistaken because I've got a timestamp here. We're talking at about the 30-second mark. We have a little bit. And I mean, here where I'm coming from is that I remember this pacing. A lot of the cartoons that I watched when I was a real little kid felt similar to this. And then, you know, when you started getting the faster paced comedy, I was like, oh man, this is great. But like, there's a lot of stuff that was like this in the 70s, even by those standards, this is not real good.
Right.
But this definitely was sort of in the mainstream, the kind of thing. I'm pretty sure that this aired, you know, like on an ABC at like 8:30 at night, you know. Yep. It was like a primetime special.
Guarantee it.
And it's real middle of the road, real fucking bland. But because this joke here feels very early 70s, maybe late 60s, like Bob Hope-y kind of special.
You know, the reason we're doing this is because the supermarkets are closed on Thanksgiving, you see.
Wait, I don't even remember that.
Everybody's like running around chasing a turkey, and then he stops and, you know, makes an ironic aside. You
oh,
know, like,
that's
uh-huh.
not, that
you see,
wasn't 30
we're
seconds in.
We're cavemen, and, it was.
It was like right away. It was before the smoke bit. But like, the thing that really kills me about this is there are actual very talented voice people in this. Like, there's not very many because there's not a lot of lines, but you've got Dawes Butler, one of the most famous voice actors of this era of all time. And you've also got Don Messick, who also did a lot of stuff, most notably in my mind, Hampton from the Tiny Toon Adventures cartoon. And Dawes Butler, why am I like, he's done so much. I think Droopy Dog, I want to say, like, that was the big thing that he did. He did Huckleberry Hound. That's the other big one. Snaggle Puss. Fred Flintstone. So like, he's a Yogi Bear. He's Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch is the big one, everybody. He's known for just doing like a crazy amount of work.
Like, how you just like go up from the most most insignificant and slowly. Oh, right. Yogi Bear. Right. Like some people have heard of Yogi Bear. Right. But everybody knows fucking Deputy Dog. Come on now. Deputy
Dog. Yeah. Look, Dawes Butler is like an icon. You know, if you were to make a Mount Rushmore of voice actors before the year 2000, we'll say Dawes Butler is on that with Mel Blanc, you know, in my mind. You got to put Michael Bell on there. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Thank you.
That was disappointing in much the same way as most TED Talks are these days.
I mean, that's fine. So this opening bit, yeah, so there's a bit about the as I could barely hear it, so hopefully we'll clean that up.
Did I start this late? The first thing I have is lightning strikes a tree and fire is invented.
No, there's a little bit before that, but I would understand why your brain would immediately tune it out.
Yeah, we've all.
Because it's like opening credits bit, you know.
Oh, okay.
Well, Gina, you're going to have to watch this whole thing again. We'll wait. So there's a whole bit where BC, the main character, and it's just so effing slow. It's like a 4-minute bit, 4.5-minute bit, where it's just lightning strikes the tree outside his cave. And he goes out there and he inhales the smoke or something that goes back in the cave, and he would sneeze or he would get his hand like burned by the fire by not realizing that he's holding the torch, which is slowly burning up to his hand. And then he would turn and he would smile at the camera, and then he would turn away, and then he'd slow walk into the cave, and then you'd wait like 3 seconds, and then he would scream, and then the fire would move all around, and then you'd wait 3 more seconds and he'd walk back out again all the way. And I'm just like, fucking kill me. I wrote right here. 1 minute in, I want to die.
But here's the thing. The smoke was screaming, which was weird.
No. What happened was as he screamed, the fire itself was, you know, like how when you like blow on a fire, it goes like whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Yeah.
He screamed so loud that the fire was like.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And that became the recurring bit. So whenever he would whenever he would sneeze, a fire would start up.
Yeah.
Whenever he would scream, the fire would move. There's the bit where he sneezed in his cave, and because he had breathed the air from a volcano for whatever goddamn reason, he went up to a volcano and he sneezes in his cave and the volcano erupts.
Now here's the thing.
Fucking hilarious.
Here's the thing. I thought I was thinking, okay, so this is how it's going to go. Fire is invented. This is going to be directly related to.
Sure.
Right.
That would have made sense.
The first Thanksgiving. It strikes the tree. He realizes that when he blows on or sneezes on the fire, it gets bigger. He's going to at some point discover that food tastes better when you cook it like this. And everyone is going to come over and enjoy his cooked food. And that is not at all where this went or what happened.
This is interesting because you are now on the side of Brian O'Connell, who had the same problem with the... what was that weird ass monster cartoon that we watched?
Groovy Ghoulies.
Groovy Ghoulies. It similarly has a vibe of
Groovy Ghoulies.
That's what this is. The pacing is different, but it is basically that. It's like, here's a joke, and you go a little bit longer and you take a little more time with the physical comedy. But that's all this is, you know, like some old Laurel and Hardy stuff where you're like, oh, you see fire, and they're like, oh, and then you take a big, long pause and then react to it.
No, Groovy Ghoulies had a through line. This has no through line.
Gene, I don't think I'm with you on this. I think the through lines of each part scene by scene, I think, was exactly the same except Groovy Ghoulies had at least pacing. Which gave me a headache, quite frankly. This just made me want to jump off of my roof. The thing is, so like the volcano blows up and a turtle rolls into BC's cave. And then very slowly the turtle pokes his head out and then very slowly looks and then very slowly says, Gesundheit.
Yeah.
And BC's like, he says like, God bless you or something stupid.
No, he says Gesundheit.
Okay.
I wrote that down.
And so it's just dumb because turtles don't talk. Anyway.
Right next to that, I had a note that, like, he sleeps with a rock pillow Okay, fine. But then a perfectly tailored blanket, and that was the point where I was like,
fine.
"How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Fine.
You can either have a rock pillow or a perfectly tailored blanket. You can't have both."
You know, that's one of the conventions of the comic strip, and I'm totally yeah. fine with it. That part didn't bother me. The turtle talking, that pissed me off. So then the turtle just like walks away, and then BC wakes up, and he's like, "Huh?" And then that's like, I'm supposed to be laughing uproariously for 5 straight minutes, apparently. I don't know.
In my notes, I did write in all caps, what was the joke? What was the joke? I was waiting for a payoff. I wanted a punchline, yeah. and I got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. He just rolls back over and goes to sleep. And when we're back with the turtle, who now the bird is operating like a motorboat. And that, I mean, yeah. he's rubbing his face in his tits. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Is that what you...
Do you spend a lot of Again. Time thinking about turtle tits, Ray?
After Chan showed me that one thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, we stumbled into some dark parts of the internet. Don't ask, you don't want to know.
Yeah, Gina, I'm not proud of it, nor am I happy about it, but yeah, I do, unfortunately.
All I'm going to say is Raphael, man, got us set on him.
I don't want to, you know what? Shit.
I just put that image in your head, didn't I?
Well, don't worry about that. Okay. So then I don't even know. I don't even remember or understand this bit with the bird rides the turtle like a boat and then they're fine. I just literally, my next note is like, I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. Like, it's just, we're all at a lake now. There's like a river where they all live and uh-huh. they're all just like one by one, slow walking to the water and then drinking it.
Doing their bit in the water. Yeah.
And then like one of the cavemen has glasses, of course, because I don't, you know, care anymore. I think that was my favorite character because representation with kids with glasses matters.
He was the smart one, obviously.
He was smart. Was he? Because he got told to leave the water. So he starts licking the sand for nourishment.
I need to know I don't appreciate the fact that I don't understand the rules of this world, because in the first scene when fire is invented, the guy clearly has no idea what fire is, which is why Correct. He keeps like sniffing it and sneezing and doesn't understand Right. what's going on. But then later, everyone already knows about fire. Like no one Yes. is like, oh shit, what is this? Holy Right. crap. Oh my God, it hurts when you touch it. What's going on? It's just in the beginning, one guy finds fire, doesn't know what the hell it is. And then like 2 scenes later, everyone's just like, oh, it's fire.
This is post Flintstones. I like BC started before Flintstones, but by this point, the sort of trope of we are in prehistoric times, but doing modern things is very well established. So sure. you have the thing at the beginning where, you know, like, oh, we don't know what fire is. But then by the end of it, Fat Broad is like, yeah, we know that you discovered fire. Yeah, we're all very understanding, and just set that so we can start the cooking process, which
Gina, what you don't understand is this episode of BC is a lot like the movie Boyhood. It's actually they actually shot it over 14 years. And so the 14,000 years. The first year.
No, here's the thing. I hate it because the whole thing is absurdist, but the bits suck. Like that's the best way yes. to it's like, you know, you can do absurdist humor well. This is not it, and no attempt was even made.
Would it shock you to find out this was written by a white man?
You mean like everything in the 70s?
Don't worry about that. That's why it was all so mediocre.
I will say that I don't. This isn't absurdist is the thing. The jokes are bad, but it is more in the tradition of vaudeville. So like these things are. They're not trying to do crazy shit. This is something that people understood when they are watching. Why I kept thinking of Bob Hope was Bob Hope has this look when like something crazy happens, he gives kind of a side eye to the camera.
Yeah.
He's like, that's this entire thing.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh, well, you know how it is in modern times.
I hate it.
So here are the bits. Here are the gags. Each one of these gags probably takes at least a good 30 seconds. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's death. It is
they are
death.
Filling time like a motherfucker.
So the first person would go and like start drinking out of the river. Okay, great. Then the glass.
I do remember the bit, the reason why the snake is all erect like a dick. I wrote brunette for the for my own sake in my brain, but she's called fat broad, so
yeah.
Fat broad grabs snake and like whips it, and then it becomes like a card, like a club.
Yeah,
and she carries it around.
Yeah, that was a premise from the comics. I barely remember it, but I remember the snake kind of represents the devil in his own way. And so, you know, that's the best I got. Like, it's a bad bit.
I thought she was again. I thought everything was going to lead back to Thanksgiving. So I thought she was going to use it as like a soup, like to stir the soup up.
Okay.
That didn't happen.
Well,
she goes out to the water and starts smacking it with the water. And that's the point where I was like, I thought I knew what the bit was.
Yeah, no.
But then like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, well, she's smacking the water with a hard snake.
Yeah. Yes.
And to everyone that's listening who has not watched this, that is what it is. We're not.
That's what it is.
Like, that's
it. She is smacking the water with the hard snake.
Just walking out and beating the fuck out of the water. And so the guy who rides the wheel, that's like his bit. It's like Schroeder with the piano. This guy just is always riding his wheel. And so he goes over and he like leans against a rock and he does that thing that the old like bird thing where the bird tips over to the water and then leans backward and then slowly leans forward, hits the water and then backward.
That's cute.
Yeah, that's hilarious when it doesn't take 45 seconds to get to.
No, but I'm saying it's if you distill this entire cartoon down into a comic strip or a 30-second cartoon, I would be on board.
Yeah. And also one of the cavemen talks like Humphrey Bogart.
That's like, that was always shamefully did that in cartoons.
Yeah, that didn't make me happy. So then we have dinner. And so there is now a fire making dinner, and they're making rock soup. Fat Broad is making rock soup for Thanksgiving, I guess. That's the premise. And the big thing, in order to make rock soup taste good, you need to shove a turkey in there. And the turkey is the first, and the turkey is the one who offers up that information, which I thought was a little strange.
No, that's the, dead turkey. You got to have that double take. Yeah. I mean, that is comedy.
That is,
if you don't have a double
comedy.
Take, you're comedy.
And again, it's not, I don't understand I don't understand how we get from, like, does everyone already know that rock soup requires turkey?
Do you not know the story of Stone Soup?
Oh, I do know Stone Soup.
Yeah, that's all that is.
Chan, can you? I don't know what Stone Soup is. Can you tell me?
Oh, it's a chill.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's the deal is like a hobo comes into town and is like, I'm going to make Stone Soup. Takes a big old cauldron and puts a stone in there. And people start coming up to us like, oh, what's going on with this? I'm making stone soup. You know what I need for stone soup? I need an onion. It's like, oh, okay. And the guy goes up to get an onion. He's like, oh, you know what I need for stone soup? It's like a ham hock. And then another person goes, oh, okay, I'll go and get you ham hock. And they all bring like, you know, like a thing. And then at the end, it turns out like, oh, you have like a full stew. And that's stone soup.
Yes.
Like everybody chips in.
He basically cons them into giving him ingredients for a real stew, but that's not
what it's the monorail of 16th century storytelling.
I'll be honest, that sounds like socialism to me.
But that's not what this is.
Was that man Bernie Sanders?
That's not what this that they didn't do the bit correctly because she makes it seem like it's something she's made before that they all eat.
100%.
And it just and then something, is it the turtle? Something comes up and eats it.
It was a dinosaur. Yeah.
It was a dinosaur.
And like it has nothing in it but rocks and water.
Dinosaur loves it. Well, so then they go, you know, we need a dead turkey. And then they're all just like, okay, we got to go get us a turkey. So they all just start running. And then they stop.
They're doing
and go,
like
hey,
a football thing.
It's a football thing.
Yeah,
it was really obnoxious.
What was the football bit? Because I wrote down first football game.
Yeah, it's a thing they used to do back then, especially in cartoons. I remember like the Mickey Mouse Goofy football cartoon, and they represent football happening by just like a mob of people all running in unison. And,
yes.
And it's sort of like the blob from the end of the game Inside, where it's just arms flailing and sticking out from this blob mass. And
well, also before that, you have the coach giving the speech and all of the team members being like, rah, 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 rah,
yes, rah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
What are we gonna do, you dummies? We're gonna hit them high and we're gonna hit them low. Got it?
Got it! Got it! Got it! Got it! High and low and high and low and
that sort of bit.
I actually thought that that would have been a good bit. If this cartoon had been the invention of the first of everything for Thanksgiving, I would have been on board with it. But I feel like maybe that was the original concept and they did not know how to deliver on it.
They played football on Thanksgiving back then. Maybe that's what they were going for with the bit.
You're the football guy. You should know this.
I should, except it was so lazy and poorly executed, much like my football on Thanksgiving.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, this is Keith, or some actor playing Keith. I'm not really sure anymore, but we're coming to the end of my Los Angeles con spree. But before I leave, I have some scores to settle and discover a couple truths to be revealed. It's all going to come down to the season finale of Rideshare Episode X. It's going to drop on December 3rd. Now, until then, I want you to catch up by binge listening the first season. And I suggest that you do exactly as I say. Or you're going to miss all the fun.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's breakfast time. Listen at breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
This is Kenner's Screen a Show, the amazing Take It Any Place projector. Show them here. Show them there. Take it almost anywhere. 7 great color shows like Sabrina and Archie. Slip in a cassette and the show is on. Hey, here's the Hair Bear Bunch. There are over 100 scenes, bright even in daylight. See exciting shows from both sides with Kenner's Screen a Show projector with 5 cassettes.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, they do a bit where they say, "Let's go get a turkey." They start chasing. They stop and say, "Hey, what's a turkey? Ha, 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 ha." And then they chase the turkey some more. And then they do the bit where the good-looking chick like walks by them. And I can say that because her name is literally Cute Chick. God damn it. And she walks by them and they all just stop, like including the turkey, if I remember right. They're all just like, "Yo, that chick's hot. Anyway, let's keep doing what we're doing." And then we're done with that bit. And a dinosaur eats all the stew. Like, what is happening?
What? I just have a note. I have a note that says turkeys who love turkeys, because I thought that was one of the good bits. Does anyone remember what that bit is?
Yeah, no, that's he's singing Barbara Streisand.
Oh,
Let's see. Okay.
This was one.
Turkeys who love turkeys are the loveliest.
Like that.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened.
That was one of those where I was like, okay, this is, I could imagine seeing this again. I'm going to use laughing as an example, but like it's a bit that we're all sort of sick of now, but a bit of an animal singing instead of people who love people are the luckiest people. He's singing turkeys who love turkeys. And that was, I thought, the first sort of good bit in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. As far as all the bits on this special go, that one was the least egregious.
Yeah. I had lowered my expectations by this point.
And at this point, I barely remember this from the comic books, because we move on to there's a phone on a tree, which was a bit from BC Comics.
Okay, this was another decent bit, I thought.
And so he goes
into... And you didn't have a problem with the telephone being invented before fire?
I mean, you know, this is this comic, And it was a little bit of a nostalgia trip to go back.
I'm talking to Gina specifically.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Here's the thing. By this point, once they've referenced Barbara Streisand and other things, I was just expecting it because they start with the invention of fire, which turned out to not be the invention of fire because everyone knew what it was. But by this
10 years
point,
later, in the chronology of the world.
And, you know, a turkey sort of prank calling a guy that's trying to kill him is kind of a funny bit.
Well, also, he turns into a superhero. He crawls into the phone booth tree and comes out as the Midnight Skulker, which I didn't understand it, but I vaguely remember that bit from the comics, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, fine.
All right. And then we have the heavy breathing gag, which I did not understand, which was a comic trope that I did not understand until I was in my mid 30s, maybe.
Oh, really?
So yeah, like the joke was always,
that's how you dirty called people, is you just called them up and then you would heavy breathe and it would be like sending a dick pic these days. Like that was all you could do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was a very common thing back in the day to heavy breathe.
Yeah. But because they call it heavy breathing, and I had no context. I had not actually heard. No one's ever fucking called me to heavy breathe. Right, like I thought it meant like they it's okay. I talked to my therapist about it and we agree that it was for the best.
Okay, all right. I don't want you to feel left out that no one's ever heavy breathed in your phone, in your landline phone.
I'm calling. I just want you to know when you're least expected, I'm calling you.
but no, because I had only read the joke and whatnot, or it would show up in a cartoon like this where what it was someone going as if, you know, like they were exhausted or something like that, and not that they were jerking off and making the moaning noises of I'm jerking off. I never got it. And then when I finally clued into it like years later, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Sometimes
they would give that to kids.
Sometimes it's just to creep people out, though, too.
Because jerking off while calling someone and making the sex noises is creepy, Gina.
I
know you don't feel this way.
Yeah. Wait. Let me ask my best friend, Louis C.K., what he thinks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's wow. Put this one in a time capsule. So we cut to them now. They're at dinner now and they're eating the rocks, but they don't like the rocks because they're rocks.
Wait. So there's an ongoing bit. And by ongoing, I mean, it happens a couple times, but that the turkey gobbles. And that's like when the football horde sort of hears the gobbling and runs for it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can't tell. So this is established. And then after the phone bit, the caveman comes out and gobbles and sounds exactly like the turkey.
This was weird.
And in my head, I thought, oh, this is pretty funny. He's about to get run over by the horde who thinks he's a turkey. And that's not what happened. And I really feel like this is a cartoon that keeps presenting me with platters of food. And when they pull the cover off, there's no food.
Well, no, because the one thing apart of it, because he does get run over by making the noise at some point, doesn't he? Because
but once they establish that, so the turkey is doing it, and so then the caveman comes out, like he comes out of the phone, and for whatever reason he decides to gobble.
Yeah,
and I thought, great, this is going to be kind of funny. Like he survived one thing, but now he's going to get run over by the horde who thinks he's a turkey. Well, And it doesn't happen at all. The horde doesn't show up. He's gobbling for a really long time, and I just kept expecting the horde to show up, and it was very unsatisfying.
Well, a very unsatisfying, I think, would be an appropriate way to describe this in general. But yeah, you're right. I just seem to remember a bit where he is getting run over, but maybe that was earlier, and I just blocked it out. I don't care.
I will say that what I remember of the cartoon comic strip, I enjoyed it very much as a kid, but looking back, I feel like what it did was it offered very standard takes on comic tropes. There's never anything new. It was just a very basic joke telling structure that actually helped me as a child sort of understand, like, oh, okay, this is A, B, and C. This is, you know, like, yep. Why did the chicken cross the road? Sure. And it sort of taught me joke structure. But in terms of like innovating in comedy or whatever, it just didn't do that. And it was never there were never any killer jokes. It was just like, you know, here is a joke. So it's this is very much
done exactly the way that you just said it. Here is a joke.
Here's a joke. It's good.
Good enough.
You get it. You understand what I'm going with here.
You didn't laugh at any of these other comics. I don't expect you to laugh at mine either.
Well, no, it's great for a child, because the thing about hack jokes is that they're hack for a reason. They're always funny the first time you hear them. So you hear them as a kid, you're like, oh my God, you could do that with language. So somebody's gotta teach the kids.
I mean, I guess that's fair. They're eating rock soup, and then Fat Broad's like, give thanks. So we have our Thanksgiving tie-in, and then we have some weird bit at the end where she's like talking to the turkey but isn't looking at the turkey.
Oh,
and the turkey like sneaks up on her.
This was one of the other ones that I thought was pretty good. Maybe it's because my expectations were so low, but the prayer repetition from the turkey, I found funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fine. I mean, compared to a lot of this other stuff, at least it kind of moved a little bit, and it gave us a moment, and that's all I could ask for at this point, especially at this point in this cartoon.
I'll say that this was a long bit, but the payoff, because honestly, I wasn't expecting the turkey to be the one who was giving the prayer, or what do they call it? We must acknowledge a great providence or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
And then, you know, give thanks for giving me a humble turkey this opportunity. Then everybody's like, what's it?
Yeah, they repeat it. And that's what makes them realize they sort of have their heads bowed and they don't see.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the end of the show.
Hold on. I will say that Fat Broad did make a rock look appetizing, because she was eating those rocks. And I was like, man, that looked very good. If my teeth were that hard, I'd eat a rock.
You should try it out.
I think I will.
But also, the other thing is, they must have other food, right?
Well, they had the water, but then the dinosaur drank all the water.
No, I'm just, right. I just mean in general, they're staying alive via something, right?
Well, Gina, I don't know how to tell you this. They're comic strip characters.
Wait.
So we don't actually watch them farm or slaughter animals.
Wait, I'm confused. How many calories do they need a day to survive?
I'm realizing now that one of Gina's great joys in life is cartoon food.
Yes.
And this is the very antithesis of that.
Oh, wow.
There is no food. There's only rocks. And the one opportunity that they have to make food gets squandered.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand why you would hate this so much, Gina.
It's all terrible. This is what I'm talking about. It's as if someone I'm telling you, it's as if someone invited me over for delicious food and I got there and it was a Bible study group with no food.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Man. No, I get that.
Oh boy. I've had that happen. It's not good.
Again, I want to clarify, I do not think this is good at all. I do think that it deserves some context given, and it is not that bad, but it is not good at all.
I'm going to say that this, we did this to ourselves, so we have no one to blame. Unlike other times where our Patreon subscribers try to torture us, or someone thinks, oh, it'll be hilarious to make them watch this piece of crap. We did this to ourselves, so we deserve everything we get.
No, I appreciated the nostalgia trip, because I don't think about this comic strip a lot. Although I read them like daily. I read the paperbacks when I was a kid.
Burn it to the ground.
I was actually a bigger fan of Wizard of Id, also written by the same guy. And the big reason why, it's also like, you know, a tyrant king and a knight, and I don't even remember half the stuff that's in there, but I like that better than BC, even though the humor was basically the same thing, because they wore shoes in the Wizard of Id, and bare feet made me upset when I was
seems like a very weird little Ray thing that we just got some insight into his mind.
Yeah,
too,
I don't
too
care
many
for
feet.
It at all.
Too many feet made me uncomfortable, and I did not like it.
Oh,
that grog must have just driven you up a wall.
No, grog
then.
Was the only one I liked for whatever, and I can't explain it.
Also, yes, I wish I could figure out like what it was. Something clearly happened to you. You were probably two, and some older cousin stuck their feet on your baby face or something.
Must have happened. Yeah, I can't explain it, but I do know that that's how it made me feel.
How do you feel about feet now, though?
Not a fan.
Still?
No, I Quentin Tarantino movies gross me out.
Yeah, that grosses everyone out, though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you know he's jerking off while he's looking at those edits.
Oh, he's a gross person. And like whenever we have like those Lotrimin commercials or like the ones where they're at the beach and they're just like kicking their feet and taking a picture of their feet and like the sunset, I want to fucking gag.
I wish I knew what happened to you. So you never rub your wife's feet?
Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh my God.
No.
Just for the record, we're working on new artwork for the show, including, you know, like pictures of the three of us.
If you do me up as a giant foot, I will murder you.
I am drafting an email right now to Breon Bliss, and we're going to make this happen.
Now we're getting a new for season five. We're getting new artwork made.
We're in season five. Really?
We will be when we finish Deke. Then we immediately launch into season five.
Wait,
I've pictured it. Yeah. We're in season four right now, guys. It's literally on the logo.
Wow. Is it?
Wow. Didn't I make that logo?
Yes. Maybe it's not on the logo, but it's referenced by the logo every single time.
It's been a while since we did a G.I. Joe, by the way. We're trying to escape it, but at some point
we're not doing it till January. We're not doing it till January. We're doing seasonal the rest of the year for Gina.
We'll all be dead by then.
That's fine.
If we don't finish Deke and we all get killed, I'm fine. No, I'm a completist. If I die without completing all G.I. Joe properties, I don't get into G.I. Joe heaven.
There's still so much more to do, too. That's the crazy part. So that's the plan. So in my mind, at least, when we finally, in January, February, whatever it is, when we finish the Deke era, we launch into the gritty reboot season five of G.I. Joe. Now, I've seen Chan's picture, and Chan, you like to mix some metaphors here. Your picture is Chuckles, but also E. Honda for no good reason. Like, can you explain these choices to me?
Yes.
Well, Chan didn't draw them.
No, but Chan ushered them.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely did. I definitely
and
said
Gina,
I...
you're the Baroness again, but also a bat robot, which I also don't understand how that works, why we would make those choices. Chan, can you defend any of this? And also, am I afoot?
The answer to all of these things is yes.
Fuck.
I definitely can explain and defend all of these.
Well, can you do it now?
No, okay. I can't.
You know what? Somehow that's fine. That's fine for me. I just remember some of the old pictures that we had just to goof on Chan a moment longer when he'd be like, okay, so we're doing this cartoon. We're going to do, I don't know, we're going to do Gem and we're going to have a guest on. Now I asked the guest what cartoon character he loves the most from his childhood. We could theme it around the episode we're doing, which is Gem, but instead he said Droopy Dog. So we did Droopy Dog, but we also put him in the Inspector Gadget outfit. That's our picture. And I'm like, what is happening, Chan?
God, I love those.
I still don't understand them. And I also love them. I think that's the end. Remember our season, what is it? Our season two or season three? Our season three real logo is us in random cartoon characters. And then Chan put us in Scrooge McDuck's money bank.
Oh, no, that was season two. Season three, we're coming out with a Pokeball.
I mean, look. I love it all. I have nothing bad to say. I have no critique. I have no notes. It is all perfect. Random is good, guys. BC. Thanksgiving
boo.
Special.
It stands for boo crap.
Boo crap. But I believe we have something else we'd like to do before we get out of here today.
Oh, dang. Right.
It's the theme song throwdown. We are here with a very special guest. It is Ezra Parter, comedian extraordinaire. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Dog. You are the host of Apocalypse Apocalypse Tips with Lester Pipps?
That's right. I mean, technically in show canon, Lester Pipps is the host and I'm just his publicist. But yeah, that's me. I'll break the fourth wall. That's me.
Yeah, no Andy Kaufman bullshit here, man.
I don't do Andy Kaufman.
What is the show? Where is it?
Yeah, it's on Thursdays. It's at 6. It's on the Pack Theater Twitch, and it's a show where my character Lester Pipps, who sounds kind of like this, is the way that he talks like he's a guy from Louisiana who lives down in his bunker, making sure people know how to survive apocalypses. And there could be any kind of apocalypse, like maybe the moon opens up its mouth, tries to eat Earth. You know, that's one example of what an apocalypse could be. Also, sometimes he talks about real stuff, like going to vote. And the main thing of the show, though, is I have guests come on, play characters who are in this world, which is the real world, but Apocalypse Tips focused. And I interview them and they say funny stuff and we have a good time.
Love it. That is a Dusty Rhodes, is it not?
What is that?
Okay, it isn't then. That sounds like Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, the man. Voice you got there.
Oh, is it? Okay. I don't know that. It's just a voice that I used to do with an ex-girlfriend and eventually we formed it into a character. She was instrumental. Shout out to Rexanne.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, in case any wrestling fan comes up to you and was like, oh, that's a great Dusty Rhodes, man. Then you just say like, oh, yeah, totally. Thanks. Yeah, that's definitely what I was doing there.
Dusty Rhodes. Yeah.
Okay. So we are doing – this is the first matchup in round two of our theme song throwdown. The first round was epic, and now we've weeded out the chaff. Every single song in this second round, they're all killers.
Ooh, yeah.
But you don't have much of a connection with either of these songs.
You know, I really don't. Are we revealing what they are? Should I say that or should I keep it a secret till it's time? Okay.
It's G.I. Joe versus Fraggle Rock.
Yeah. So I definitely watched some G.I. Joe when I was a kid, but I don't remember it really other than I think in like high school or college, there was some G.I. Joe episode that was circulating my friend groups that were like, look at this dumb clip. And so I remember that. But that's.
Oh, you're talking about the Fenzer films, the. The pork chop sandwich and all that?
Yeah, exactly that.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Fraggle Rock, I have learned about in the last couple of years, but I've never seen an episode. I didn't know it existed when I was a kid.
I don't remember if it's back on HBO. It used to be on HBO. Then it went away, and I'm like, what the fuck? My kid was just getting to the age where he would enjoy that. What the fuck? I don't know if it's back, but it was and continues to be an amazing show. With a bumping soundtrack. Let's start out with G.I. Joe and okay. See what you think.
Yo, Joe.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe. Okay, yeah.
It gets blood pumping.
It hits. It hits pretty good. Yeah. Never gives up. He's always there. Fighting for freedom over land and air. G.I. Joe! Man.
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world. He never gives up. His space
fills the fights for G.I. Joe. Whoa, it's got like a... got a like a voiceover break in the middle. I love it.
Yeah, it covers all the bases.
It does, man. That's like some rousing big band music, and then we get a little hit and now it's time for me to do a voiceover that explains the show, and that's what you've been waiting for. Here we go, let's do the show. But then you get more music. I love it. It's a
yeah. Do you how do you feel about narration during theme songs?
I like it in classic stuff, but I do not want it in current stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like I'm cool with it when I'm like, okay, I remember that this used to be how stuff worked, but I definitely am. I think in general, it's not modern at all.
Yeah,
I can't think of a modern show that does it, and I can't think of a modern show that I would want to do it.
Do you feel like a theme song should sort of like tell you what the cartoon is, or are you satisfied with just like oh, I want to watch this now because of this song.
Yeah, I like to just get hyped, you know? If you're going to explain what the show is, cool. Like, some shows need that. But as long as you're getting me hyped, I'm in.
Okay. Does this get you hype? You feeling it? Or is it a little dated, a little retro?
It's a little dated, especially just in like, with current politics, it's really hard to get behind anything that's super patriotic. You know, in 2001, I would have loved this, you know, like, yeah, America needs this, you know.
I'm gonna be real. When I was watching it in real time in the 80s, I was fully a Cobra fan because at the time I was like, what is this rah rah bullshit? No, I don't need you to tell me to be fucking patriotic. No, not playing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's different ways of approaching it.
That's a good point. Yeah. I was thinking of, I was just like thinking of the last iconic moment. I don't know if it's iconic. This is the first time I've watched it, but where they're all in front of that American flag. And I just at work, they're doing these things with, I do like IT for a tech company, and they're doing these things where every week we have a meeting with the team and we're supposed to have a different like spirit feeling. So one week it was, we're all going to wear matching t-shirts. And then this week it was, everybody wear your American pride clothes. And I was like, I'm not doing that right now. Are you kidding me? Are we asking for political fighting?
Okay, well, then I guess we will move on to Fraggle Rock.
Oh, I love Jim Henson.
Hells yeah.
This bass is okay. Oh, there's so many of them. God, this bass line is addictive.
Right? That's why it's in the second round.
Yeah. Oh my God. That dude's huge. Oh man. Come to Fraggle Rock.
Down in Fraggle Rock.
Oh, down in Fraggle Rock. I heard come to Fraggle Rock and I was thinking, I will. This sounds great. Wow, I'm blown away. That was awesome. I think that was like a cool combo of like, oh, we're gonna hit you with a little funk beat, but then no, we're not really doing funk, we're just doing happy upbeat. And that's I like that a lot.
Like, Jim Henson can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. And like, have you watched the new Dark Crystal?
I haven't,
dude. Yeah? Oh my God, just technically, it's so amazing. You're sitting and you're like, Those are puppets. There's like people with hands in them and there's like sticks, and go just watch it. We get done here, go and watch it, come back and thank me.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check it out. I never watched the Dark Crystal movie before, so it's not like, it wasn't nostalgic for me when I saw it come up, so I never went down that rabbit hole, but I'll definitely try it. If it's anything like how hyped I am for Fraggle Rock, it's got to be good.
Definitely. So, okay. So yeah. Thoughts about Fraggle Rock aside from the bass line, which we all know is the fucking best.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the bass line, I don't even know what else there was. That's the only thing that mattered. But no, I mean, yeah, it had like the hype energy that I'm looking for in an intro song. It brought me up. And also I love that they're just saying like, hey, listen, we're going to be happy for a little while and you're going to join us and be happy down in Fraggle Rock. I'm like, yeah. That's what I want. I just want to be happy.
That's another thing that we've run into during this tournament is some songs are just happy, and like if it goes up against a song that it like does something different, because like G.I. Joe kind of gets you hyped. There are other songs like Batman the Animated Series that are like dark and like evocative and like, yeah, dude, I want to, you know, like I'm feeling mysterious or even frightened or whatever. And you know, like which is more cartoon theme song to you?
That's interesting. Yeah, I think all the cartoons I watched when I was little, like Batman the Animated Series, all the Marvel stuff, I definitely, Batman's DC, but I definitely watched those kinds of shows more than a Fraggle Rock kind of show. But now that I've seen this theme song, I'm thinking I made a mistake. I should have just only been watching Fraggle Rock.
Here's the thing. You get to go back and relive your childhood however you want.
That's right. My edited version. When I tell my therapist about my childhood next, I'll be talking about Fraggle Rock as if I watched it then.
So, G.I. Joe, Fraggle Rock, which is the best cartoon theme song in your mind and why?
Yeah. So, okay. G.I. Joe brings a lot of energy. It definitely gets you hyped for what you're going to watch, which is some action, right? Some patriotism, a little bit of maybe rooting for the underdog if you choose to like Cobra. Although I've heard the lead Cobra guy's voice, and frankly, it's really hard to root for a guy who is that jarring. But on the other hand, Fraggle Rock. I mean, I felt so good. A show I've never even watched. I want to watch right now. That's wow. Powerful in a theme song. But here's the thing. Do we count puppets as cartoons?
We've already gone down this road.
Okay.
We've had
okay.
this.
I had a feeling.
Some people take issue, and we lost a great one as a result of that.
Okay.
But this one definitely passes the test. It's in the tournament. Staying in the tournament. We're not going to worry about.
These are your rules, not mine. So if we were going by my rules, that doesn't even matter because these are your rules. So
well, then you and Gina should just have a podcast all to yourself.
Okay, tell her I would. actually, by my rules or yours, Fraggle Rock dominated the competition today and absolutely deserves to move on to the next round.
Wow. All right, then. Mm-hmm. Fraggle Rock takes it almost an upset, except that I would say that in the second round, there are no bad songs. So, mm-hmm. Even a top seed can go down. Fraggle Rock moves on.
Wow.
Ezra Barter, thank you very much for coming on. Tell everybody where they can find you if they're looking for you.
Robert, thank you so much for having me. This is great. You all can find me. I'm on Instagram at Ezra Partier. And from there, there's connections to the Lester Pipps show. I do a couple other shows every week also. So definitely at Ezra Partier on Instagram, at Ezra Parter on Twitter. Those are the easiest ways to find me.
You freaked me out for a sec because I thought your name was pronounced Ezra Partier. And I was going to be like, oh, God. Damn it. I didn't ask beforehand and I screwed myself, but I thought I knew it.
No, there's okay, an unused, there's makes an sense. Unused account on Instagram with the Ezra Parter name. And I can't figure it out because there's not another human being named Ezra Parter. But they took my name on Instagram, which, fair enough. They can have it. I'll be Ezra Partier. I don't even party.
You know what? You don't need to party. You just need people to think that you're a party kind of guy.
That's right. Hell yeah, let's get faded.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe that round one and or round two matchup went the way it did.
Did I just black out? What happened?
Here's the thing. I don't even know if I don't remember the proper order of them. I have recorded all eight episodes of round two.
Sharon, kayfabe.
You may or may not know what is going on, so you should probably listen to those, just so you know.
Or just listen to the next eight episodes of this show, and you'll hear them.
No, I'm not talking to the audience. I'm talking to you two.
Oh, I don't know. That's a lot. Anyway, well, that's our show.
I blacked out again.
Yeah, that's fine.
I blacked out from BC.
Thank you for listening to Knowing is Half the Podcast, the G.I. Joe recap show, this time talking about Thanksgiving specials, BC, from 1973. Yeah, was a thing.
If you ever want to get rid of Thanksgiving guests at your Thanksgiving gathering, if you are tired and just want people to go so you can eat leftover pie on your lap in your Lazy Boy while you watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for the 90th time, suggest...
Grab a snake.
Yeah.
Just start smacking it until it gets hard. then just go out to a nearby river, just start pounding the shit out of that water.
Just people slap the water.
What is happening?
Slap the water.
I don't understand the reference.
No.
What is going on?
And let me be honest. No, I love this plan, Gina, because this is like whenever I was at a cast party in high school, you knew it was time to leave because the Rent soundtrack would start playing. So
yeah,
this is the equivalent of that.
It's like when I was in college and a white boy would bring out their acoustic guitar. That's how I knew it was time to leave and slash their tires.
Yeah, thank you.
Both of you people don't understand. That signals that the party is getting going.
No,
the nerds leave. The naked time starts about a half hour after that.
Oh,
y'all didn't wait long enough.
I didn't, and I still don't regret it, to be honest with you. not even a little bit.
But put on BC's Thanksgiving special. It will drive your guests out, and you'll get the rest of the pie to yourself.
They won't even get to the volcano 4 minutes in before they're all just like, yeah, it's going to be, we got to get up early tomorrow. We got to get out of here. Oh, I love this idea, Gina. Thank
that
you.
Was the perfect transition. We got to get out of here.
Yes.
And
guys, you have anything you want to plug?
Ray, come on, man.
Yes, you want to plug for the show?
Oh, wait. When is this airing?
Next week.
If it airs before Thursday, November 12th.
It will.
That's when the season 2 premiere of The Unicorn happens.
Hey, everybody. Let's watch some Unicorn season 2.
And also, Thursday the 26th, which is Thanksgiving, CBS is re-airing my Thanksgiving episode of The Unicorn, which is nice because they then have to pay me.
Thank you.
Yeah, get that money.
So
that
watch it if you like.
If you dare.
I will say that was probably my favorite episode of The Unicorn that I saw. And that was not even taking into account that Gina wrote it. It was just really good.
Oh,
so I do
you.
Suggest on Thanksgiving, you should watch it. And then when you're tired of your guests, you put on the BC special. And everybody goes
you put on your Jana, you put on your finest suit and the BC special.
It's a bad combination.
And wait Jan, for it to take you.
Chan, what would you like to plug? You've got big things coming.
Do I?
All right, guys, you can also listen to the Who Would Win show. That's a weekly show where myself and James Gaffsey, we talk about fights between fictional characters. We very recently just announced we're doing Astro Boy versus Spider-Man. Pretty fun, pretty good stuff. So until next time, boo crap. Boo crap. That's all I got to say, man. Boo crap.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you got to sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.